Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Ymarz is an orc warrior and the chief of the accursed orc stronghold of Largishbur, located in the rift east of Ravenstel. He is generally unpleased and displays many traits not normally associated with orcs, such as conniving nature and an aversion to battle. It is never fully explained why Malakath cursed his tribe, but it's implied that Ymarz's weakness weaknesses as leader are the reflection of the curse itself. This would help explain why Malakath charges Ymarz alone with the task of slaying the leader of the giant tribe that has defiled his shrine. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. That was the random UESP page from last week that we forgot to do, and yep, here we are. And so now you know more about Ymarz from Skyrim.
Yeah, there you go. So there's Ymarz, and probably the weirdest intro, especially if you're new to the show, what we just did. Usually we end on a random page, which is a button that was added to the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages. We forgot to end the show like that, so we figured we'd start this one and end this one with a random page to make up for it.
Yeah, so we'll have another one at the end of the episode.
Yeah, so there's your context.
Yeah, there you go. Adventurers, welcome back. This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Here we are. And this week we are, I was like, Lotus, we're brainstorming episodes, and I was like, you know what, I was thinking about it. We've gone through a lot of the main quest lines from a lot of the games, and I was like, you know what we should do is do a tier list with each of the main stories and rank them from masterpiece to bad, just bad.
So yeah, that's we'll be nice about it.
We'll be nice about it, but this is not which one we think is our favorite. This isn't the one we like to play the most. This is just simply according to the quality of the main questline story.
Which questline? I mean, again, this is, again, people love their ranking lists and their tier lists and stuff like that, and everybody gets all into it and stuff. So this is ours. We'll be curious to hear if you want to let us know yours in the comments and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yes. Because chances are you're not going to agree 100% with us.
We're not going to agree with each other on this.
Yes. Yeah. So we have, and that's part of it, is that Lotus and I have to kind of come to some sort of agreement. Like,
right. We've got to kind of come to a middle ground.
Right. And for the ones, and Lotus is the expert on the older titles, the ones that are just absolutely a chore to play through anymore. So on some of those, like Battlespire's in here, I'm just going to have to say, okay, maybe I'm gonna go with whatever you say because you have more experience than I do, because I've watched videos on it, we've done a research around it, but Lotus is the one who's experienced it more for himself. So here, so let's get into this. We're gonna start with Arena. We're just gonna kind of go in order. I've got the stuff up on the screen. We're gonna drop these in their ranks, and I will give, as we go through each of these, a just kind of a synopsis of the story. based on what it says on the UESP. So just so that everybody's kind of up to date, just in case you don't know the story for each of these yet.
There's a lot of these games.
Right.
Can't be expected to know everything.
Right. The main quest of Arena is very linear, but completely optional, which is wonderful, right? It consists of 10 quests that take you on some of the most famous landmarks in the Empire, famous not only for their beauty, but for their inherent danger as well. The goal of the main quest is to collect the 8 pieces of the Staff of Chaos in order to defeat the evil Jaegar Tharn, a battle mage of great power, and give the world of the Arena, which is what they called Tamriel back then, the peace it so needs. Your guide through this quest is Rhea Silmane, who comes to you in all these visions and stuff. Go back and listen to our episodes about this. It's pretty hilarious. Tharn's ex-apprentice. She will visit you in dreams, so it's advised that you sleep often, shows she has a means of reaching you. But basically, you go through this crazy quest, you put together the Staff of Chaos, you deal with undead monsters in most of the places you go.
Minions. And all sorts of good stuff.
And then eventually you're able to defeat the evil Jaegar Tharn. So, what do you think, Lewis? It's the very first one, very early on. We're talking
about, I don't know how controversial 90s. This will be, but Arena is pretty generic. It is kind of generic fantasy world that you feel that a lot of this game came about as a result of it not actually being this type of game to begin with, and it expanded into this game. Like the fact that title being like Arena, and they were like, we need it to sound more RPG, so they literally slapped the word Elder Scrolls on it, because they're like, I don't know, we'll figure out what that means later, who cares?
right.
And it's like, there isn't the depth. Again, we've said many times when we've discussed parts of Arena, and it's got the foundations that are built upon that make the series so unique, but the first game is really not very unique overall. And the main story is basically, the Emperor is kind of ousted for the time being, and Jaegar Tharn's in here and impersonating Shop, and he's got a magical who's it that's been split into pieces. You go collect it so that you can beat him and free the Emperor.
Right.
That's a pretty stock storyline.
That's pretty much it, right? Yeah, I agree. It is very, we need to come up with a reason to go all these cool-looking places. We've got a lot of cool places to go. But it's just ongoing fetch quest, right?
Like, yeah,
go fetch this thing.
And in terms of I guess it was somewhat gratifying at the time when I did it, but only because the gameplay was rough. The climactic battle that you have, which I would like to consider part of the story because it's like your big showdown with Tharn.
Sure.
You literally just grab the orb away from him and he dies and that's it. It's not a fight. You never even need to hit him. Mm-hmm. You run past him and you're like, and we're done. And
right.
That's the end of the game.
Kind of anticlimactic. Okay, so I'm dropping it into mediocre. Would it be bad, or do you think it's better than mediocre?
I think mediocre would be fine, because to Kirstein's point in chat, we like D&D, let's make a video game.
Yeah.
Much, because a lot of the creatures and areas are very D&D, I've been told.
Mm-hmm. This was the scene of the early 90s RPGs, right. Is that, in fact, you had the Gold Box series of actual D&D games.
Sure.
They were playing off of a lot of those tropes.
A lot of Lord of the Rings as well.
Right.
Some of the names are a little suspect in the original.
Mirkwood. And it's like, okay, Mirkwood? Really?
Yeah,
grabbed Mirkwood? All right.
Right. So I don't think I would say it's bad. I mean, it's fine.
All right.
So I think mediocre would fit this.
I'm down with mediocre, and we've got a bunch more to get through. So let's move on. Let's talk about Daggerfall. Daggerfall, we talked about this recently as well. It begins with a private meeting between you, the agent, and Uriel Septim the Seventh. He instructs you to travel to Daggerfall to investigate a mysterious circumstances surrounding the death of King Lysandus. And basically, it plays out from there. It's kind of like a murder mystery kind of story. Is that a good way to explain it?
Yeah, a little bit. You're trying to figure out what exactly happened to Lysandus.
Mm-hmm. And of course, in this game, much like Arena, you can kind of go around and do whatever you want. You can ignore the main quest line. There are certain things you have to do in order to further the main quest line. The map is gigantic, so there's definitely times where you just may not even go near the thing that you need to go do next, or you get in the next piece of the quest and it's like travel across the entire continent to go to that other dungeon. So there are some complexities around that, but I would say that the fact that there's so much like political intrigue in Daggerfall, along with this kind of mystery thing, raises it a step above Arena, because Arena is just a bunch of fetch quests. This actually plays out in a way where you meet these interesting characters, evil liches, whatever, and you have to kind of figure out, okay, like who's actually on whose side. There's, you know, like there's a little bit more going on there. What do you think?
I would agree with that, and I want to have one little thing that I think we need to address, and it'll change whether I agree with you that it belongs in the average tier or maybe the good tier. The ending to the game has multiple endings. At the time, it was just kind of, they're multiple endings,
that's
whatever.
That's true, yeah.
But then that spirals off into what becomes Dragon Breaks, because they needed to explain it down the line in the series, which I feel the story going up to that is fine, like it's pretty good, but the what it brings to the series as a result of its multiple endings and introducing this concept of a Dragon Break, I think actually elevates it to good at that point.
Okay, even if that wasn't include that. Even if that wasn't part of the original scope of the writing.
Right.
The fact that it gets added on later. I guess you could argue that the writing gave it a foundation that was able to be built upon, even if it wasn't the original intent.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with that one. I don't know whether we want to consider that as part of the story, or if we want to kind of attribute that down the line to something different.
Yeah, I think if anything, I feel like we have to attribute that to Morrowind.
That's why. So
right. Like, I think we have to
possibly need to gush about that game anymore. It's going to get gross at that point. But I just didn't know if we should put it on Morrowind, Morrowind does kind of decide on that.
Right. So I think that we have to keep it within the original scope of the story at the time. Okay. So like if Daggerfall just dropped, you know, a week ago and we just played, you know, 100 billion hours in it.
You don't know about Dragon Breaks yet.
And then we wouldn't have known about Dragon Breaks. You and I might have gotten different endings. That would have been the end of the discussion for years until we Morrowind, and then we were like, oh, they figured out how to work in multiple endings into this story. That's crazy. So I think it goes in average. That's where I think it's,
I will agree with that.
There's
then
the potential for good, but they didn't quite hit good.
Yep.
They hit
average. I will totally agree with that then.
Okay. Now let's talk about Battlespire. So far we've got Daggerfall average, Arena mediocre, Battlespire, which is not on my list. Where did it go? I had a window open. I promise. Oh, here it is. It just ended up in the wrong spot. All right. The Battlespire, also called the Spire, the Celestial Citadel, and also known as the Void Castle, is a magical war academy in the Imperial Battle College and Imperial Battle Mages, acting as a testing facility for those seeking to join the Imperial Guard. So that's basically what is going on here. I don't know. Let's just summarize this really quickly. It gets invaded.
Yeah. And you have invaded to, by Dagon.
Right. Mehrunes Dagon invades the Battlespire, and you have to go and deal with all the wackiness that ensues inside the Battlespire to try to push Mehrunes Dagon back out. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Description?
That's a pretty good one. Yes. So that's super condensed. There's obviously a lot more nuance to it along the way, which, you know, the 11 of us that played Battlespire.
There were a few hundred people at least back in the day. What is the total amount sold? Keep talking while I look at this up.
So with Battlespire, the story is, I would say, fine. There's definitely some twists and turns and weirdnesses that I think elevate it a bit, but I don't know if, as weird as Battlespire is and creative as the parts of it are, the actual story itself is pretty generic, I would say, to an extent, and it's a lot of the side quests and things that kind of make it what it, you know, make it the unique weird experience that's pretty cringe in a lot of aspects. So honestly, I don't think that this is actually that great of a storyline. Like it's
weird.
Not bad.
It's weird.
It's weird, and it's got redeeming qualities to it. But I would overall say that this is probably a pretty mediocre story with Battlespire.
All right, so
I don't know if I would. It's, again, not bad because of some of the unique stuff, but at the same time, hampered by some of its own storytelling problems.
Right. I can't find any actual numbers on total units sold for Battlespire, but it did not review very well, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I got a lot of very, very middling, like 40s to 60s reviews.
Yeah. So let me put it this way. The best part of Battlespire is that sweet music.
I play it for the music. Okay. All right. So Battlespire, we're dropping into mediocre.
I would say mediocre.
All right. Let's talk about Redguard. Redguard's plot is, in fact, you don't even, there's not really a main, there's the questing in Battle. It's all just weird. The UESP article doesn't even note a main story. I had to look this up. According to Wikipedia, it says Redguard's storyline takes place amid the Tiber Wars shortly after Tiber Septim's Third Empire conquered and occupied Hammerfell. The death of Hammerfell's king has sparked a civil war between its competing political factions, the Crowns and the Forebears, the former led by the king's son, Prince Ator. And wackiness ensues while you basically fight back against the Empire. Is that a good description?
So, yes. It's been a long time since I've played Redguard. But here, this is going to probably come across as weird. Redguard is one of the worst video games I've ever played.
one of the worst.
It like, literally, like, top five worst games I've ever played. It handles, like, a shopping cart trying to, like, navigate with no wheels. Yeah. Like, it's awful. Yeah. Yeah. And the dialogue, like the voice acting is beyond cringe, except for the main character whose voice is amazing.
But what about that good story?
The story itself is kind of like, okay, it's, you know, Silas is on his way, or Cyrus, sorry, is kind of fighting back in this weird, like, sort of civil war area. What happens is, it's not really the story that's told that's what's good about this game. It's the lore it introduces, which is weird.
Yeah, but that's not
so
the main
you
story.
Consider that
it's not
part
that,
of the story or separate.
That is like saying, I really like the Lord of the Rings, but the best part is the scenery. Right? Okay. Like,
all right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah, nobody, no, like, yeah, Tolkien spends a lot of time talking about the types of trees on the side of the road, but that's not what people remember about the story of Lord of the Rings, right?
The story for just, so yeah, then I'll say the story itself for Redguard, I would say, is mediocre.
Okay.
And if you are somebody who thinks that the lore actually really matters, it introduces so many staples to the series. But to your point, it does a great job of world building around a story that is super not that interesting.
Yeah, I think world building would be a separate category.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story. All right, so we're dropping this in mediocre. It's barely skirting up from bad. Would you say Arena's better than Battlespire? Should we put these in, like, sub rankings here? I think probably, because it adds so many wacky things, and Arena's so just kind of bland.
Yeah, no, I would say, yeah, I would actually say Battlespire's
okay,
better.
Okay, so
Arena.
Yeah, Battlespire is slightly better than Arena.
Because some of the side quests that you do need to interact with are memorable, and they're part of what creates the full story. So
yeah, and they add some weird lore to it, too. Like, that side credit of, like, well, there's also other weird things going on. That
yeah, no,
cool.
I would definitely say Battlespire is above.
Yeah. Yeah,
and if a little better than Arena.
If we
yeah,
didn't have Battlespire and Redguard, we definitely never would have had Morrowind.
Yeah, I'm also, man, I'm struggling to not put Redguard in bad.
Why don't we drop it to I feel like it's bad. I feel like it's bad,
but it's just I'm so kind of forgettable. All of the stuff it adds to the series.
Yeah, but it's not this. That's game not that the does main
it
story.
Like it's
that's
not the main story.
Right.
That
all right.
It.
Let's drop it. It's going to bad. It's going to bad. All right. We need to move on. I feel okay. Like our tides are about to turn. Red Guard has a lot of ships in it. That was a joke.
Well, that's good.
Let's talk about Morrowind. A lot of people. There are. I don't know. Armies of people on the internet regularly arguing that Morrowind is the best game in the Elder Scrolls series, period, bar none, end of story. What do you think?
You're welcome, internet. That's me.
How would you describe, like, I can read through the thing, but how would you just summarize the story?
So the return, so you're the Nerevarian, your return and basically ascension for a really sort of complicated revenge tale, but not just a straightforward like I've got to kill everybody who betrayed me so much, as like it involves a lot more of the prophecy of things like you're supposed to come back to actually like fix a lot of this stuff along with it, and it's not just given to you, you have to earn it, and there's a lot of situations where you don't look like you're necessarily the chosen one after all, like when you get mm-hmm. Corpus,
there's ambiguity in the story,
and it takes a while questions to form,
right, and you're the Nerevarine, you are the return of the solar spirit of the Nerevar.
Right.
Maybe. Right?
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. There have been maybe plenty not who have also said they are and they're
right
not.
So, right. Right. Yeah.
And then to your previous point of connecting that multiple endings from Daggerfall that brings all of the series together, which mm-hmm. is sort of required for the series to continue on, I think Morrowind is a masterpiece. I still to this day love the story to it just because it's very long. So like I guess if that almost could be a knock against it because it's so involved and there's so many steps before you even get to major plot points.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That I could see being a bit of a turnoff for people, but overall I really think that Morrowind is just a very unique story of coming back, and you're already in this starting to get pretty established unique fantasy world.
Yes, yes.
And it ties in some of the other loose ends from the series and starts trying to canonize that as well, which does play into the main storyline because it continues on from that. So I just think this just, it does such an amazing job.
Yeah, I agree. They also are able to keep this as a fantasy kind of medieval style role-playing game, but yet put it in a very alien world at the same time without needing to like bring in sci-fi or some other, you know, cyberpunk kind of setting like a lot of RPGs do when they kind of break out of that typical mold. So it still feels familiar to the old games. It still works in the same races, the same deities, the same like foundational lore, but it does so in a much more involved and very deep and sometimes ambiguous package that leaves you kind of wondering about how things actually are. You know, like it really also leans into that unreliable narrator kind of quality that the series has.
Yeah.
So, I feel like this established a lot of that, like the groundwork for what we expect.
Yes, the ambiguity
in
the series is so known for.
Yes, this is right. This is what it establishes.
And to be fair, when the game ends and you get your final showdown, you know, at Daggerthur and take him out, it ends even ambiguous way. I'm tripping over the word.
Right. ambiguous way.
Yeah. Tripping yeah over like all of this. Because like you just, like, that's it. Like, it ends. You can continue about your thing. But going forward in the series, which we can address in later games as part of their thing, you just kind of, like, drift off. Nobody knows what happens to you after this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay, so.
And I appreciate the fact that you can break the prophecy in that game by just ruining the main quest.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I wish they would bring that back.
Right, right. All right, so I think Masterpiece is where it's at. How do you feel about Tribunal? Tribunal, we get, like, we're deeper into the Tribunal, right? Like,
yes, deeper into the Tribunal.
Sophocil,
I actually,
Amalexia.
Yeah, Vivek. I actually, this, I don't know if this will be controversial. It's at least good. It might actually be another masterpiece because of the twist. for what it's worth. Like, the gods you deal with aren't quite as noble as it seems, and this is brought to light a lot more in Tribunal, where Amalexia, who's like, you know, Mother Mercy and stuff, hauls off and shanks Sothisil.
Right.
And yes. It's like, so...
Yeah, there are some fun twists, yes.
It breaks a lot of the conventions that were sort of set up in Morrowind, and I felt like that is really, really unique. I love that it was like not afraid to eliminate characters that you just, oh, well, this character clearly would have plot. Oh, nope, they're dead. Like, one of the gods is offing another god because, you know, she's going nuts because of what happened. And then she ends up kind of becoming in it. So it's like, I just like the misdirection of Tribunal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, playing off what came from that, I think that's it's really a fantastic expansion that I recommend a ton, and really put some major characters in the series to death, essentially.
Right. Well, it makes the gods more approachable. It kind of,
yes,
bridges that gap of like, okay, maybe they're not as all powerful as we thought they were.
Right.
So that does add to it. Okay. So I think this also is part of, it also feels like a natural extension of the original story.
It really does. It feels like a solid continuation.
Right. So I think that goes up in Masterpiece as well. Okay. Let's talk about Blood Moon. Now we're talking like werewolves.
Okay. So this, I'm trying to remember all of the details, exactly what went to this expansion specifically. Do we have a good synopsis of this one to condense it down that we could do?
Here, let's see. I didn't pull this up ahead of time, but
just conflating it with side quests.
Yes. Anyway, so here it says, Blood Moon is the second expansion pack. Was developed. Gameplay. Here we go. Plot setting. Blood Moon is set in Solstheim, an island between the provinces of Morrowind and Skyrim. The island is recently colonized by the Empire, who administers it from Fort Frostmouth. However, most of Solstheim is in uninhabited wilderness, occupied by outlying villages of indigenous Nord tribes. Blood Moon introduces two main quest lines. A main quest line and a factional quest line. The player initiates the main quest line by interacting with so-and-so. Let me see. The player travels north. This is not a very clear synopsis.
Concise, yeah.
Investigates the ruins. The skull show up. There's the Blood Moon prophecy. With werewolves.
Blood Moon prophecy.
Mm-hmm. You're infected with the werewolf disease, and the village gets attacked by werewolves, and then it kind of goes from there. You've got to suss out
the scenario around the werewolves. So let me put it this way. This one felt more to me, from what I remember, especially because I'm literally like, can you give me a quick synopsis? Because I'm like, this to me felt like a well-constructed set of side quests to me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it plays into the same kind of, I don't know, the main story.
No, it felt like I remember liking it. I love the island, but again, we're not discussing stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not the setting. It's not so much the lore around it.
The story itself felt more like a side quest overall.
I mean, I feel like that fits in the average area.
Yeah, and the fact that I'm struggling more than I actually thought I would to try to remember this, because I did not research these. I was just like, you know what? I've gone through all these things. I can piece it together. This one, I'm like, you know, I really wish I were completely read through this one again, because it's,
that's a flag right there. That's a red flag a little hard to remember all the details. Okay, must not have been as good of a story.
Yeah, I think this one's got to fall to average for me, unless I'm just totally spacing on something. I'm sure here, seen in chat will be going for my throat.
All right, so better or worse than Daggerfall? Better average or worse average?
I think it's still better average than Daggerfall.
Okay, so better
if
average.
I remember the situation surrounding the prophecy being kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a cool setting, and digging into the werewolf lore.
They're really very similar, I would think, in quality personally from what I remember this.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a good place for us to take a quick break and go thank our patrons, because we still have to talk about Oblivion, its expansions, Skyrim and its expansions. Elder Scrolls Online's main story, the original main story. We're not going to go through all the extra stuff because that would take forever. And then Legends and Blades still as just on the list of games. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, let's make it quick. We've got our patrons to thank. Thank you, everybody, for your support. Patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. We've got some new ones who signed up this last week, including Lucas Stephen D. I think it's Stephen or Stefan D. And BBG699. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you've decided to help support the show. You can get ad-free episodes. You can get like the first 90-ish episodes before Lotus joined the show are all over there. T-shirts and stickers, joining us for patron chats, which are coming up in just a few weeks. We actually decided, because the patron chat falls on Thanksgiving night here in the United States, that we're going to do it 2 days earlier. So that'll be on Tuesday, the, what is that? The 26th.
26?
Yeah, 7. Tuesday the 26th. So
26.
If you can make it that night, that would be wonderful. If you're one of our patrons, or if you'd like to sign up, you still have time to sign up on that tier. And speaking of people who are helping support the show, some of the higher tiers, or one of the highest tiers, our Daedric Princes are Blinding Vision, Hircine, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kirisi, and Peter R. Thank you so much for your support. And to all 135 of you, you're the best. We appreciate
you.
Yeah. Also, if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can rate the show on Spotify. If you leave a review on Apple, we'll read it out on the future episodes of the show. You can tell your friends, all of that stuff. And you can also comment. Let us know on the Discord or in the comments of this episode, wherever you're checking this out. Let us know if you think we got the ranking right. And if we might have need to nudge something a little bit one way or
the other. Which ones do you disagree or agree with?
Yeah, let us know. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show, because we got to talk about Oblivion. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right. Let's talk about Oblivion. As we get closer to the mainline, like newer games, it's much easier for me to just kind of summarize the plots. But
for sure,
because they're a lot more fresh in my brain.
They streamline a little more, and they're also fresher in most people's memories.
Right, right. So Oblivion,
played them.
Martin Septon gets killed. The Emperor gets murdered. There's a faction that's trying to, I guess, let Mehrunes Dagon back into the world in order to take over. Or is it Molag Bal? What am I doing?
No, it's Dagon.
It's Dagon.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Dagon. When the ball is online. Yeah, when the fires go out.
Yep. Yeah. And then so these Oblivion gates start popping up everywhere. And one of the cool things about the story of Oblivion is you are not the main hero. You're the guy who happened to be there in the jail cell when the Emperor was murdered. And you have to go find the guy with his blood, who nobody knows about, reinstate him into power so that he can turn into a giant dragon, fight against Dagon, and save Tamriel by relighting the dragon fires. So that's roughly the plot.
So I actually think that the plot seems a little you could argue that it's a little generic type of thing, but I actually think it's very well done. And I love the feature that you are basically the makeshift bodyguard to the main character and not the main character. I love that.
Yes.
And it is so unusual.
Yes. I would say that this is kind of an average story, you know, until you realize that you are not the protagonist.
Yeah. You're not the protagonist at all. You're not.
And that, I think, raises it above. Like, so I would normally just, I would put this in average somewhere.
Yep.
But I think it's actually up to good. I think that
I agree with
this
that
stands out. It also gives us a lot more insight into Oblivion and how Oblivion works. We go through the gates. We have to do that as part of the quest. You get to know these other characters and these other factions that play into things. And of course, you can do other things other than the main quest line, but we're just only talking about the main quest line.
Yeah, no, the side quests are very good in their own right. But the main quest line, I would agree with you. It is good because of the unique ways of taking a not totally average, but a more average storyline and making it not average by the way it's portrayed.
Right. I agree. So I think this one goes squarely in.
Yeah, that was easy.
Yeah.
We were very much apparently in agreement on that one.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's talk about Knights of the Nine. We've got all right. So this should have looked up the synopsis of this one. Can you remember off the top of your head what happens in the Knights of the Nine? Because it falls out of my brain. This is one of those stories
The Knights of the Nine, you're collecting the armor. I believe is the protect. Oh, man. I should rightfully be roasted for this one. Oh, my God. Why am I spacing on who you're collecting the armor?
Used relics. Oh yeah, yeah. It's what's his face? The time traveling cyborg.
Yes, time traveling cyborg. Like
centers are a faction of the same name devoted to locating, preserving the set of Crusaders relics. Once found, these relics must be used to defeat the Sorcerer King Umaril, who seeks revenge on the Nine Divines. Knights of the Nine was generally well received in the gaming press. Yeah, and it's,
White Strike. That was the worst brain fart in history.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't come up with his name either.
I remember his
name. But I think that's proof that this one is, it's kind of fetch questy. It's cool that these things like play into a story that's old and you got to fight, you know, Umaril, which the story with Umaril, some of that stuff is cool, but I feel like it's in that like top of average.
Yeah, so it's interesting, and one thing that I do appreciate that Sulior brought up, which is kind of interesting, it does kind of strongly nudge toward the direction that Talos is a divine.
Yes.
But
yes.
Which is kind of an interesting bit to add to the series. But yeah, the way, much like we gave benefit to the way that the Oblivion main storyline was portrayed, this was kind of a pretty tediously long fetch quest.
Right. Yeah.
And it's fine. Like I liked it enough.
It's fine as a DLC.
I definitely have this one a little more in the average category, even with some of the stuff that it does bring to the series as a whole.
Okay, so average above Blood Moon or below Blood Moon?
Ooh, that's spicy.
I do like. I think I might like the lore in this better than the lore in Blood Moon.
I think I'm going to give you that. I think I'm not going to fight you on that one.
Okay, so this top of average for Knights of the Nine. All right, Shivering Isles. You travel to the realm of Sheogorath in order to deal with the wackiness that ensues in the realm of Sheogorath, because it's the end of the age and Jigalag is coming back, and you've learned things about the fact that Sheogorath hasn't always been like Sheogorath.
Yes, and the concept of the Grey March.
The Grey March and all of that stuff. I think all of that is super cool. It's a new, yes, interesting zone. There's other stuff going on beyond just the main quest, but you couldn't have the main quest outside of that zone. Like the fact that you're going to this really weird realm of Oblivion that's very different from what you see dealing with Dagon, and the complexity of like, oh, Daedric Princes also isn't kind of like in Tribunal, like,
yes,
Daedric Princes aren't everything we assumed. There's more to it. That I think is super cool. Where would you put it? Because I'm flirting between good and masterpiece.
I think this is a masterpiece. I think this is one of the best DLCs that any game has ever made.
Wow. Like, okay. All right.
Like this game, or this in and of itself, I found to be better than like a lot of full retail games that I've played.
Right.
An enormous zone. It's very weird, obviously. So it's got like that going for it. But to your point, the story itself starts off kind of like, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And then talk about a misdirection of a protagonist where you were the side character. In this,
you might become
a long-standing god in the series.
Right, yeah, it's super weird because, like, at the end, it's like you might become the next Sheogorath, which is super weird, but
it leaves a lot of questions as to like mantling a guy. Love it. Absolutely love the Shivering Isles. A total masterpiece for me.
Okay, so is this compared to Tribunal, is this better or not as good as Tribunal? This is tricky.
You know what? I actually think I like this more than Tribunal.
Okay.
With Tribunal being a close follow-up.
What about Morrowind? Morrowind
obviously is the greatest thing ever.
Okay, so we'll leave Morrowind at the top so that the Morrow Boomers don't all send us hate
that's
mail.
That's fine. To be fair, I lead the charge with the Morrow Boomers.
Like, you're the king of the Morrow Boomers?
Okay, yeah, cool. So cool. I would say, yeah, I think I actually like, man, both of those are really good. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to commit to it. Okay. No reason to falter. I'm going to say Shivering Isles and then Tribunal right after.
Yeah, this is interesting because if you look at Morrowind, we've got two masterpieces and an average. If you look at Oblivion, we've got a masterpiece, a good, and an average. They span three categories. So I'm interested here to see what happens with Skyrim. You know, the basic story of Skyrim, you are the Dovahkiin, you are the Dragonborn, the last Dragonborn. The dragons end up showing back up because they were banished out of time, but but they were basically portaled into the future from the Merithic era.
Yeah.
And they come back and you have to deal with them, and you have options in how you deal with them. And
right.
Basically you end up in Sovngarde fighting very powerful dead and ancient dragons or whatever. And eventually you solve the problem. Good synopsis.
Yeah. And it's a very memorable average story.
It's a very memorable average story. The dragons are very cool. The fact that yes, you...
There is a lot of cool here.
There's a lot of cool here. I think that's the best way to put it. Because whereas in Oblivion, you were not the main character. In this, you are very much the main character. Oh, you're the main character of all of existence.
They
you're the main character...
on the reg how much the main character you are.
Of every single story, every single side quest, everything that's out there. What you say goes, and it doesn't matter how contradictory it is, because you are just the main character of all main characters ever.
You are living plot armor in this game.
Right.
Which is a knock that a lot of people kind of have against Bethesda storytelling more recently. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's fine, and that's totally not a problem. But with Skyrim, again, there's so much to love about the game, and it basically brought this series into the forefront of gaming to the most extreme level. But the story actually is pretty average. It's an average story.
Do you feel like it's better than Knights of the Nine?
Yeah, I think it's a little more memorable.
I think so.
Do you think it's as good as... And it brings its own
lore
to the table.
Good? Is it just below Oblivion, but it's still good? I feel like it's still good. Like, because you do... There are some twists and turns with, like, the blades and...
There are, but I
you think it's top average or bottom good?
I would
good?
Say it's the top of the average tier.
Okay, top average. I'm okay with that.
That would
I'm
be
okay
me, at least.
I'm okay with that. Okay, so let's talk... two expansions. Which one came out first? Dawnguard came out first?
Yes, Dawnguard came out first.
Okay, so Dawnguard came out first. Dawnguard has to do with vampires. You have this whole side plot line, which is the main plot line of the DLC, dealing with Serana and an Elder Scroll and this whole line of vampires and their abilities that go well above the basic vampires that you meet in the basic game. And you can side with the being a vampire yourself and doing that whole thing and fighting against the vampires that way. Or you can side with the Dawnguard, who are vampire hunters, and kind of deal with it that way.
Right.
I feel like this one's pretty average. Like,
I would say this one's pretty average well. It's got some neat set pieces. We literally just talked about, like, the Soul Cairn blast.
That's true.
Like, it's got some great set pieces, and you do some interesting stuff. And the whole, like, quest to, like, blot out the sun type of deal.
Yeah,
is kind of that part. Some of the character, like, I guess this is spoiler central. So, I mean, the fact that you meet an alien at the end is
kind of
important.
Right. Now that is cool. That plays into the plot.
But I don't know if any of these things would elevate the overall plot of vampire werewolf thing again, sort of.
Okay. All right. So I feel like this one's pretty average. I feel like it's, but I feel like I like the main story.
Oh, sorry.
Better.
Yeah. It was a snow elf. What am I saying?
It was a snow elf. It wasn't
snow elf. Like, not an alien. Yeah. Right. Thank you.
They were kind of related to the aliens, but they weren't the aliens. But yeah.
Well, right. But yeah. Everybody's
I knew what you meant.
No, technically that's totally correct. Yeah. Right. It's a snow elf.
So are we putting this after Skyrim on average, but before Knights of the Nine? I feel like it fits there.
I could go with that. I could honestly go before or after Knights of the Nine, either way. I think it's about comparable to Knights of the Nine, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna the fact that it works in, they both work in this really cool old lore in interesting ways. They both give us reveals about the nature of the world that we wouldn't have without them. So
right.
I feel like they're very paired together in that way. But also, vampires? I feel like it gets a little bit of like a, okay, vampires are cool too.
Yeah. Honestly, more than the vampire aspect that I feel is memorable about it is kind of the side tangent where you learned, like, to the point of the snow elf thing that we corrected, like, right there, the difference between Falmer and, like, what happened with that, which is not part of the main story. That's lore building around it. That, to me, is more interesting than the actual story that Dawnguard
brings. It's true. And like, that is a really cool thing. And the fact that there's an actual Elder Scroll that's in involved with this, and you get to see behind the scenes with like a vampire group. There's a lot of fun stuff in it. So I'm happy with it here. I'm happy with it right above Knights of the Nine, if you're cool with that too.
You good? Yes, I am good with that.
All right, let's talk about Dragonborn, the Dragonborn DLC. We go back to Solstheim. We have to deal with Mirak and Hermaeus Mora, and we learn a lot of lore about the fact that Hermaeus Mora has been messing with stuff, which gets expanded on in ESO later on.
Very recently.
But Mirak being like the original last Dragonborn from like the Merithic era, and then him playing around with this agreement he made with Hermaeus Mora, and then coming back and being part of this again. That part, that stuff, I mean, I know you love Hermie.
I was going to say, this one's going to probably throw people off.
I like this one. I wouldn't say it was my favorite DLC to play through, but the story I think is really cool. What do you
think? Yes. I like a lot of the story. Obviously, I love the characters involved and the setting and stuff like that. Again, we're going back to, we get the nostalgia pull coming from, you know, Morrowind again. We get to go back to Solstheim, which is really cool, especially when you're going on the boat and it's playing the remastered music is just like great. But these are all setting pieces. They're not the story itself. The story itself, okay, one of his basically generals gets kind of pissy and then doesn't really want to cooperate anymore, kind of goes a little rogue. You're on the quest to kind of like put him down, but then also sort of are you getting forced into taking his place? There's questions.
And he shows up and steals stuff, like steals and dragon souls from you.
He is a great Mirak villain because he's aggravating as hell.
Yeah, Mirak is cool, and it plays into the whole like, okay, what does it mean to be Dragonborn? How did this actually work in the Merithic era? Like,
right,
it fills in a lot of those gaps,
Why I would say it is good. Yeah, and not you better
just,
than that.
You just talked me into better than Oblivion.
Okay, all right.
And Oblivion's cool. It's got a unique twist on a story that is traditionally would have been very average. But this brings in a lot of interesting, unique elements and expands the lore of the world in a very unique way. Whereas Oblivion just kind of like secures the lore of the world. Oh, yeah, there's the Dragonfires. There's the Emperor. The deal with the Emperor keeps Tamriel safe. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that feels like, okay, we knew about that, but here we're actually seeing it happen. Whereas Dragonborn feels like, here's some new stuff you didn't know, and it's crazy. Here you go. Like, I'm down with that.
Okay, I'll go with that, because I could kind of see either of those interchanging, because I thought they were pretty close, but you know what? I think you convinced me with that one. I like your interpretation of that. I'm good with that.
Cool. All right, so we got on the good list above Oblivion, which means Skyrim has a good and two averages. So far, Morrowind as an entire title, plus two DLC, has two masterpieces and an average. So I think it's between that and Oblivion, because Oblivion spans all top three. I think Morrowind edges it out just a little bit.
I would say Morrowind's because
of two masterpieces
out,
instead of a masterpiece and a good. So that's on the top of the list of like the mainline games. So let's talk about Elder Scrolls Online. The original story from the original release has to do, again, with the Empire, and the Empire's in shambles because there's this three factions.
The Three Banner War.
And then you have a non-Dragonborn Emperor who wants to be Dragonborn, who works out a deal to try and make that happen. Sure enough, he gets fooled. Everything goes bad. Manny Marco uses him to try to take power. And now Molag Bal is invading all of Tamriel through.
Right.
You know, similar to what Dagon tried to do, but
yeah,
different.
Similar concept.
Trying to pulling Tamriel into his realm rather than invading.
Instead of a Daedric invasion of them busting in there, they're trying to drag Nern into Cold Harbor deal. It's just inverted Oblivion.
Right. And so you've got these companions. You go through the main story quests, which bring back together all the companions. You save them all from their predicaments, being tortured or stuck in Oblivion or whatever, in order to bring them all together. And then somebody has to sacrifice themselves in order to save Tamriel. And you get to choose who.
Because you need to repower the Amulet of Kings so that you have the strength to fight back Molag Bal. There's one other thing that I feel elevates this story a little bit, because I love a good misdirection. The fact that when you assault Cold Harbor, and it's kind of like, gather all your friends together for our charming adventure type of deal.
We're going to win with the battle, with the power of friendship.
The power of friendships, yes. Yeah. So you scoop everybody in, and while they're chilling in there, you get this situation of like, okay, well, there's this like the Hollow City, and like, well, you kind of rebuild it as like a base of operations. Mm-hmm. And then the situation turns out that you've been secretly being helped by Meridia, another Daedric prince,
right,
who is kind of just masked as a gatekeeper, or groundskeeper is the word I'm looking for. And they barge through, and that's actually what takes out, I guess for lack of a better word, that's what helps you take out another Daedric prince. You basically needed a Daedric prince to help take out a Daedric prince. As powerful as you were, you kind of looked like you were coming up short without this. And then as a side effect, once this is all complete and everything like that, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's the good Daedric, big quotes on that. Now Meridia is implying that you're indebted to her.
Right, right. And then that doesn't, we still haven't seen the result of that yet.
No. And as the stories continue on, it seems like very much that there might be a lot more to this. And one of the quotes that I love originally, who knows if this will ever plan out, because we're kind of in the situation we talked about with Daggerfall. We don't know what's coming because it's still going. Right. When you're at a dark anchor, and Moleg Ball, one of his quotes when you're fighting the dark anchor is, some of you serve crueler masters than I, or something like that.
Right. There are worse masters than I.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this is totally like, we are getting shammed by Meridia here. And we think that we're like being way more heroic than we are. So I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah. It's implying that you made a deal with the devil in order to take on what you thought was the worst devil, but
exactly.
Meridia might just be shiny and pretty, and yet more sinister in ways that we don't understand yet.
Right. And so I actually, I from an MMO point, I am shocked how much I think the story is well written, because
I've played really through,
think of that.
Yeah, I've played through characters setting in the original story bit a few times, and every time I play through it, I have more appreciation for it. Especially because it was an MMO. They didn't have a lot of MMOs just have kind of phoned in stories, but like they didn't phone this in. Like it is significant. I don't think it's as much of a masterpiece as something like, you know, Morrowind.
Sure.
It's not treading that much ground.
But I would definitely say it is good.
Yeah. For taking the aspects of the world that we already understood and incorporating them in a way in a story that kind of has intrigue and appeal and fun little twists and turns and interesting characters. I think it does that all very well. So I think that it's a good story.
Yes, I would agree with you. I would say that it is good.
Now, is it better than Dragonborn or Morrowind or not?
You mean Oblivion?
No, I'm sorry,
better than
it's not more. yeah. So, is it better than Dragonborn?
No, I would say it. I would say that it fits nicely in third place.
You think so? I feel like it's better than Oblivion.
You think it's better than Oblivion? All right. I'm not convinced enough that I'm going to argue much on
it. It's more dynamic. The story has more and better, more interesting, fleshed out characters.
Oblivion. Would you say it's better than
Dragonborn?
That I don't know if I could let go.
Dragonborn is a more unique and interesting story. ESO is a more robust and classic kind of story.
Okay.
So I feel like it's subjective. Right. Like, do you prefer the uniqueness and the weirdness of Dragonborn, or do you prefer like a very traditional story told well?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I think
they're both told well. I feel like it's harder to break new ground and tell a good story than it is to simply tell a castle intrigue story with a monster that wants to invade the world.
And Viper points out a lot more exploration too, which is fair. There's like a lot, because you've got I guess they're technically side stories, but being involved with the Three Banner War actually does tie in quite a bit to the main story. So there's a lot there that we're not really even addressing.
So is it better than Dragonborn? I mean, it is.
I don't know. That's more actually complicated. Kind of a,
Why don't we say they're even? We'll just leave them. They're just even. Dragonborn.
We'll just leave it as is.
They're even. They're about even, but for very different reasons.
Yeah, I just really like. I'm very comfortable with all the goods. Like none of those could be in an order that I would be too offended by.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The goods are all good.
Right. All right. So now on to the weird ones. We've got Legends, which is the card game, which is going away, and Blades, which is the mobile game, and there's Castles, but this doesn't really have a story.
No, Castles has no story. Your story is be alive. Whoops, you didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you make up your own story because you're like, there's a new leader and this is what they did. But
if you're interested in my very long-winded review, check out the most recent episode of Tales and
Okay, go check that out. All right. What do you think about Legends? You were a big fan of
the story stuff. I actually think the Legends story is woefully underrated. We're not going to go to, like, we won't go into the expansions, although the Shivering Isles expansion is fantastic. The Dark Brotherhood one is good as well. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a fun, interactive story. You're just some adventurers. And it's good, though. Like, it's a good story, I would say, but it's kind of interesting because it's a good story that might be getting bonus points because it's in such a weird setting.
Yeah,
like, I expected nothing out of a card game,
right?
And I got a full fleshed out story with some well written expansions. The big thing is the Shivering Isles expansion, I feel, is where it really shines, but that's not what we're addressing.
That's not the main story, right?
And the main story itself is kind of like a pretty generic adventurer's tale against an, you know, evil force type of deal, but it was well done. So I would say it's probably average to good.
Okay. I didn't finish the story, at least not that I remember. I played a good bit of the game and then I did some of the expansion stuff, but I'm not sure I ever finished the main story.
Okay.
Also, I don't remember much about it, so I feel like it's probably firmly in the average.
So we'll go with average then. That's fine. I can accept that.
Where in average would you put it?
Where in average? What have we got for our averages?
Is it like, here, let's start at the back. Is it better than Daggerfall?
Shoot. Yeah, I guess I don't know, because I'm like, you know, I'm trying to think in an overall grand scale. It's a very like side quest. Like it feels like a really good side quest until you. So maybe, you know what? Just put it at the back of the average category.
Back of average. All right, it's going we'll go back of that. Average. Yeah, for people who can't see it on the screen right now.
Yeah, it's literally falling into us. There's a lot of averages. Right
here. I'll just move us down is what I'll do.
It definitely adds to the series, and I feel like it's a solid addition to the series, especially for a card game. And the Shivering Isles, I felt, was a great expansion yet again.
Yeah,
it's weird that both Shivering Isles are so good. But. All right,
so we got one left. Blades, which was the mobile game. Another game that I played, and I played a number of hours of it, but again, I didn't finish the main story. I don't think I... Like, you're rebuilding your town, you have to figure out what's going on, like, well, everything was destroyed, you were had something to do, I'm trying to even remember.
Okay, like, so, I'll try to do the best synopsis I can. Basically, you show up to this destroyed town, and your thing is to help rebuild the town, and you do a lot of side quests to collect the things you need to have like a showdown against the one who did it. There's some, man, it is pretty forgettable. I'm actually
it's pretty forgettable. I don't know that it really, like, at no point was I like, oh, I need to see what happens next in this story.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
is it in the bad range? I think it might be in bad range.
I think it might be in the bad range because I'm trying to think of how to, like, who is the, I remember the end boss fight and I don't remember why he's the boss.
Right. Yeah. See, like, there's so much that's not
the place, but like, I don't remember what his motivation was.
There's so much that's just not that interesting. It's like, we need to string some reasons together for you to keep coming back and clicking on this on your phone while you're bored, like, in a meeting at work. Like, that really is what the story is.
Because this takes place after Skyrim, so like the Blades name, Hercene just put it in chat, you return home after the Thalmor disbanded the Blades. I was gonna say this is after that happened, and then like this town was sacked. It's like, it's the story is what it to me, it's just, it seems very forgettable. It's just a setting to let you play in. is kind of the best way. Yeah,
that's the way I see it. Here, this is what the synopsis says as I look it up.
Perfect.
The player takes on the role of a former member of the Blades, an elite group of spies and bodyguards who were outlawed and forced into exile after the war. The player's character seeks refuge in their hometown, but finds it destroyed by mercenaries hired by the Bloodfall Queen. The mercenaries destroyed an alien statue that concealed a tunnel to a crypt where the undead sorcerer king Calimeril Lightbringer was buried. I don't know how to say that name. Maybe it's a Celemiril. C-E-L-E.
I like that.
The Sorcerer King was unleashed and wreaked havoc on the town, causing it to be ravaged by undead creatures. The Elder Scrolls Blades player can create and customize the character, and basically you have to like fight back.
Yeah, so okay. So it's just like, yeah. They
it's just a reason to click things.
They were messing around in the Evil Wizard. Because I was going to say, right. I was like, why are you fighting an Evil Wizard at the end? Because I remember the arena thing, and I was like...
Yeah, all right.
It's so, kind of a cheap fight. Whereas just like I just piled up health potions, so I just literally just wailed on it and just guzzled potions like some type of lunatic.
Right.
And then it was like, all right, I guess we're done.
So, all right, and bad? Are we in bad?
I would say that one's bad to mediocre.
Okay, is it better than Red Guard?
It's going in bad. If Arena and Battle Spire are mediocre, this one's bad.
Yeah, I agree. This one's is it better than Red Guard is the question.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
Because Red Guard at least has a situation that bred, like the setting and stuff like that, and the main character. Yeah, it's a pretty generic, like, revenge tale, but the stuff that was happening and what it led to at least led to something more substantial. We don't know this led to anything. In fact, I'm going to bet money that it doesn't lead to anything, and we're never going to talk about it again.
Yeah, that's probably the case. All right, so
that's what I'll go with.
Let's wrap this up. I feel like we did it. We've got bad. From worst to best, Red Guard worst, a definitive worst story in the series. Blades next worst, and then mediocre. We have Arena, and then Battle Spire, which is the best of the mediocre. Then we have a bunch that are average, and I guess that makes sense. We've got kind of like a bell curve here, right? Which tracks. You would expect the quality of things to be kind of on a bell curve. Most of them would be in the middle. Some things would be great. A few things would be terrible. So in the middle of the bell curve, we have Legends, and then improving from there, Daggerfall, Blood Moon, Knights of the Nine, Dawnguard, and then Skyrim right at the top of average. And then for good, we have Oblivion Story, ESO, and then Dragonborn. And then the masterpieces on our list are Tribunal, The Shivering Isles. And Morrowind at the top, because that's the masterpiece above everything else.
Correct.
So there you go. That's it.
We didn't do the other Travels games, and you're going to all like it.
Those don't need to be talked about. That's fine. Maybe at some point we need to go back and do all of like ESO and all of its expansions and kind of rate those.
Yeah, we could do that since we were going through like the quest lines and stuff. Look, just because I make so many jokes about it, I will give an honorable mention of average for Shadow Key.
Shadow Key, average. All right. Well, in order to wrap this episode up, we've got to do one more random page.
There it is.
We missed one last week. I hit the button, and guess what I got? Guess what game this one's about?
Oh, boy. Please tell me it's about Blades.
It is about Blades.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Blades, colon, health regeneration. Here are all of the enemies with health regeneration in Blades.
Incredible. I love this.
You ready? Abyssal Albino this. Spider, Abyssal Troll, Abyssal Troll Wrath of the Undying, Ancient Albino Spider, Ancient Flame Atronach, Ancient Flame Thrall, Ancient Frost Atronach, Ancient Frost Thrall. I probably should not read all of these. Lots of ancient things, lots of berserk things, some cave things like trolls, some flame things, including trolls. Everything on this list is an Atronach, a Thrall, a Troll, or a Spriggan. There's tons of Spriggans. I feel like they probably just could have listed like trolls,
variant,
thralls, Atronachs, Spriggans, and all of these variants and just like categorize them that way. Because that's basically it. And the list has probably 100 things on it, which I'm not going to read right now. But there you go. That's our random page for UESB. If you want to go look this up, just look up Blades Health Regeneration. It'll come right up.
Amazing.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Lotus, you got anything else you want to share before we head out?
No, like I kind of made a joke about, like, if you are interested in my thoughts on Elder Scrolls Castles that we kind of alluded to a couple times, most recent episode of Tales, we went over that. And Otherwise, I guess we can just kind of let you know, planning has begun for, even though I've been much busier becoming a dad, we are still going to do Extra Life this year.
Great.
And wow. Plans right. are in motion. We're going to have lots of giveaways courtesy of the UESP and most likely Bethesda and such as we figure it out. But stay tuned because the current dates are going to be kicking off. We're finalizing our time slots pretty much because I can't do 24 hours when I have a less than 1 year old.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah. Between me, Ark, Promethean, Tom, you're obviously welcome to join us as well. You helped out before. You're welcome to take a chunk of time if you feel like joining.
Yeah, when is it? What are the out. Dates?
So we are going to be doing the weekend of December 6, 7, 8. So like the first okay. weekend of December.
Okay.
We're finalizing who's going where. So
just real
nothing
quick,
set in stone yet.
I was, what's the word when you get called to do jury duty?
Oh God, summoned.
I was summoned. And so that might be a really terrible week. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, I'll fill you in.
Like I said, it's totally just going to be a thing. But if you're interested in helping out a fantastic cause, this will be our 11th year, I believe. It's always a fun time with all of the people who help with the stream and stuff like that. I usually try to subject myself to some horrible Elder Scrolls related things, but lots right. of giveaways. Even if you can't donate monetarily, totally get it. Just being there with us to hang out and bump our numbers makes other people find us easier. Mm-hmm. So it's just all around just hanging out with us. It is totally more help than many of you, I think, have realized over the past. So
yeah, and we'll remind people
we'll have more details
as it gets closer. Yeah, we'll let people know as it gets absolutely. closer, and hopefully I can be involved. Hopefully I don't have to do jury duty and then somehow sure. try to figure out just how to still do the rest of my work throughout the week without it's weird when you work for yourself, because it's not like I can be like, well, my employer's not going to pay me.
Yes, it's very awkward.
It's very weird.
I got summoned once and had I put in for the I forget what you do. You can say you can't make it, and they basically do a follow up thing where they're okay, we'll put you on. And I've luckily just never been called back, so no, I've had to go.
I've had to do it twice already, and I was actually like the lead juror last time on a crime thing, and it was one of those things. It was just like, I don't know if I made the right decision, and now this is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Cool,
that sucks.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god. Yeah, so that I've got that going on, but who knows what's going to happen with that. Hopefully I don't even have to show up. They're like, case was settled, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for tuning in, everybody. You can check out the rest of my stuff, the other shows, robotsradio.net. if you're into Fallout or Lord of the Rings or Mass Effect or whatever, I do lore casts about that stuff as well. There are YouTube channels for all those things, and you can join us on the Discord. So Lotus and I will be back next week, and I look forward to chatting with you all again. And until then, stay safe out there. And if you want to play a masterpiece, pick Morrowind, Shivering Isles, or Tribunal. Give it a go.
Exactly. Or tell us why we're wrong.
Or tell us why we're wrong. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you later. Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores, making the switch as easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.